You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Moving into the second half of the show. Cool first half. Spoke about sports coming back. Are we going to see every single one of our sports come back? It's going to be interesting to see how this year turns out. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, you know, he basically said, hey, you want to play sports, come to Florida. You know, so it'll be interesting to see how that gets hashed out. You know, before we went to break, if Major League Baseball comes back, they basically come to an agreement that they're going to have the designated hitter in both the American and National League. And I understand, you know, more offense, no pitcher swinging a baseball or swinging a bat. That might be better for everybody. And it's probably something they're going to have to go ahead and do in the long run. And in the NFL, they're in the same boat. If they come back, I think something that a lot of the players are going to have to keep in mind, preferably someone like Dak Prescott, you know, the salary cap may go down next season. So the NFL may continue to be in a space where you have the haves who are making, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, $35, $40 million a year. And then you're still going to have some have-nots who are going to make, you know, a couple hundred. So things are real tricky as we kind of walk and drive on the road to get sports back. There's going to be plenty of bumps. But at the end of the day, money is at the end of the rainbow, and that's why everybody's along for the ride. It's not just about fan consumption, okay? If you didn't know, I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. We know times are tough. Rocket Mortgage can help. If you need assistance with your mortgage, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I want to talk to you all about Michael Jordan in a second, but I do want to take more of your calls. We have some callers on the line who want to talk about baseball and a designated hitter, so I don't want to waste time there. This is your show, okay? I am easily accessible. You can always tweet me. I am at JR Sport Brief. You can always call 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. They've introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Go to geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's not waste any time. Justin is calling in from Washington. Justin, go on ahead. You're on CBS Sports Radio. It's the JR Sport Brief Show.
I just have a problem with the DH in the NL because I feel as though the baseball needs to remember where it came from, and we're not just trying to please everybody that wants offense. We didn't like having all that offense once we found out everybody was on steroids, and I think that the small ball and the sinking in the game is important to keep. So, I mean, I guess I'm looking at it as this might be good for this season, but in the long haul, I think it's important to keep the NL the way it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the long haul, and this is more of a business decision, hey, the Players Association is going to look at it as this is another way to get our offensive players involved. This may give somebody who has who doesn't get an opportunity to swing the bat an opportunity to do so and come out with some more money and a bigger contract. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's looked upon as a positive from a business perspective, and we know that's what matters the most.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're long on offense, then that's your problem. Why don't we appreciate our starters and our bullpens?
Well, you don't. Well, I don't GM a team. Talk to the Dodgers. It seems like the Dodgers, they certainly have they have more resources than what they need or what they want to do with it. And that's not a team problem. That's not a team issue. I don't even want to call it an issue. That is something to take up with the Players Association, because at the end of the day, the job of the Players Association is to make sure the players are protected and that they get paid and that their rights are taken care of. So if there's more money out there to be had, they're not going to say, oh, no, please, we don't want it. But I, as a fan, I agree with you. But I think times will be a changing. Thank you, Justin, for calling up from Washington. Money is the name of the game. That's what it is. You know, you can talk about passion. Passion gets you in the door. Practice will move you towards being perfect, even though no one is perfect. But money makes the world go round. OK, before we went to break, I kind of told you about, Michael Jordan, and a big shout out to my main man, Chris, helping to run the show right now. I told you about MJ. We've seen The Last Dance. We only have two more episodes left this upcoming Sunday. Right here on the JR Sport Brief Show, we've spoken to BJ Armstrong. We spoke to Rod Thorne earlier this week. We spoke to Sam Smith, who wrote the Jordan Rules. Quentin Richardson had a long NBA career, actually played against MJ. We spoke to him growing up in Chicago. I mean, so we have had our share of conversations around Michael Jordan. This past Sunday, outside of MJ just cursing and, motivating his teammates, or however you feel about that, a big portion of it was when MJ stepped away from the game and retired prior to the season in 1993. He went and played baseball. We don't know how that would have ended up because they went to a strike, but we do know he missed the entirety of the 1994 season. He came back at the end of 1995. Bulls got wiped out by the Magic. He had to get his legs underneath him. And we basically had, two seasons missing, I would say, of Michael Jordan in the NBA. And then he came back when he got his legs underneath him. Boom. Three more titles. 3 + 3 = 6. 1 3-peat, 2 3-peat, 6 NBA titles. And we've had a lot of conversations, a whole lot of conversations, just about what would have happened in different eras, et cetera, et cetera. And we know MJ went and played baseball. But the Chicago Bulls, they weren't shabby in his absence. I mean, the Chicago Bulls, the 94 Bulls, still finished with a record of 55-27. They were still competitive in the playoffs. They lost in the second round to the New York Knickerbockers. It took them 7 games before they went down. This wasn't a scrub group without Michael Jordan. OK, you still have one of the greatest players of all time in Scottie Pippen. That season, we spoke to B.J. Armstrong, as I said. B.J. Armstrong was an all-star that season, able to showcase his shooting prowess. And then you still had you still had Horace Grant. This is prior to him joining the Magic. And then you still had Tony Kukoc in his first year. You still had a lot of the shooters and the big men around him, and the team was pretty much, I would say, intact. Okay? And it was just sans the guy to get them over the hump, and that was Michael Jordan. Okay? And the New York Knickerbockers, they're the ones who ended up going to the finals, knocking off the Pacers, going against the Houston Rockets, losing in 7 games. Houston Rockets are your back-to-back champs in 94 and 95. And I want to say this, because I don't think Akeem Olajuwon is a player that gets his due. Akeem Olajuwon just brutalized every big man those 2 years. Ask David Robinson. Akeem Olajuwon, to this day, right now, is one of the most skilled big men I have ever seen in my life. And it's no coincidence, because this is someone who grew up with a soccer ball. Okay, this is someone who grew up understanding footwork. This is great to even see his legacy, passed on to someone like Kobe Bryant, who took time in the summer to learn Akeem's footwork. What the hell were you doing in the post? Akeem was smooth on the outside too, knocking down the long J's. Akeem was moving. He was skilled in the same way that Shaquille O'Neal wasn't just some brute force. Down low, he was skilled with the basketball. He had footwork. He could move. He was nimble. Akeem Olajuwon was the opposite on the outside and the inside. Knew how to utilize angles. Was graceful. Akeem Olajuwon is still one of my favorite basketball players to watch all time. And I think in this generation, his talent and his skill, I think a lot of people forget what Akeem was. But having said that, how would the Chicago Bulls have performed against Akeem Olajuwon's Rockets. If you don't recall, that 94 Rockets team basically sent Otis Thorpe up to Portland to bring in Clyde Drexler, who at that point in time was still in his prime. He had to have been, you know, maybe towards the end of it at about 31, 32 years old. But Clyde the Glide could still ball. And I must tell you, I think if Clyde the Glide and Akeem teamed up with all the shooters they had around them for Kenny Smith, and I need to give Kenny Smith a holler, because you know what? I'm gonna give Kenny Smith a holler, and I'm going to ask him to join the show over the next few days, and we're going to get this opinion from Kenny Smith. And he probably is going to disagree with me. But Kenny Smith obviously played with Michael Jordan as a freshman at North Carolina. And, you know, Kenny Smith has had a long, he's had a long career. Kenny Smith was a member of that Rockets championship team where you had a young Sam Cassell and you had a Mario Ellie and a Ori and Kenny. You had these shooters around this skilled big man in Akeem Olajuwon. And also, you know, you had Clyde there as well. So this team was not, they weren't scrubs. They weren't scrubs, but they had a hard-fought battle on their way to that title. Okay, I mean, they had to go against the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz damn near pushed them to the limit. They went up against the Suns, pushed against the limit. The Spurs, okay, you had your way with Mr. Robinson, and then you wiped out Shaquille O'Neal. That's Akeem Olajuwon. Okay, but the question I want to ask you all soon is what would they have done against Michael Jordan? Okay, we already have Kane from Washington here on the line. Let's see what Kane has to say. Kane, you're on CBS Sports Radio. It's the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, JR, great show as always.
Thank you, Kane. What's on your mind?
First, I want to say I'm glad that you touched on the point that I believe that not only is Hakeem one of the greatest centers to do it. Honestly, I think he's one of the top three players ever. When you talk about footwork, and I'm glad you brought up the fact that he played soccer, and being nimble and athletic and footwork is something that you have to do in that sport. And I mean, as far as a center, he can literally play in any era and still dominate that position, or the four, to be honest. But that team against Michael Jordan and them, nah, that wasn't going to work. You see what they did. You see what he did to Clyde the first time. He didn't want that again. Mike was going to tear him apart. It was going to be ugly. What would Mike say? Every time I turn around, they're talking about somebody new that came around the corner, and I got to go beat him to prove everybody wrong. And it wasn't going. They didn't really have nobody to stop Akeem, but Robin, Kukoc, every time you turn around doing something, and then just Michael, and then you still have Steve Kerr that time too, and they Ron Harper, who's an underrated point guard, in my opinion, who's perfect to play with a guy like Michael Jordan, who's a true facilitator. No, they wouldn't. They didn't have no answer for Akeem, but that'd have been about it. But Jordan, them, like you said, they went to seven games with New York. They might have made it to a not so respectable six. I think if they'd have got to a game six, it probably would have been a blowout.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Kane, for calling up from Washington, D.C. I appreciate you for hopping on the line there. Dennis Rodman was still out, kind of being crazy. He wasn't delivering his crazy on the Chicago Bulls that season. Horace Grant was still there before he had switched over and, you know, gone to the Magic. But you know what? I would tend to agree. There was no quote-unquote Michael Jordan stopper. That wasn't going to happen. Granted, you can throw a Luke Longley, you can throw a Wennington, you could have thrown an old Bill Cartwright. You could use all six of your fouls from all three guys on Akeem Olajuwon, and Akeem Olajuwon would have been cooking every single one of them. But do you want to talk about cooking? It would have been a hell of a matchup to watch. It's something I'm disappointed that we didn't get to see. Granted, it did give Patrick Ewing a chance to go out there and potentially win a ring. But, you know, the Rockets, it seems like they were in a deciding game every way until they met the Magic. They had a tough road on the way to the championship. They won it in seven games. I don't know if that'd be the case against Jordan. I would still favor him. And I think if Michael Jordan didn't take his break, if Michael Jordan didn't retire the first time, we'd be talking about someone who won, and I know it's tough to say, I think he'd pick up those other two rings. I think Michael Jordan would be sitting on 8 if he didn't retire. I love Hakeem. I love what the Rockets did. I grew up in New York City. I had an opportunity to watch it with my own two eyes with excitement. But I think MJ, Michael Jordan, and the Bulls, I think they would tack on 2 more championships if he didn't retire that first time. I think there are 2 rings missing right there. We're going to go ahead and take your phone calls, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. If Michael Jordan did not retire that first time, what would go down in those 2 years? How many rings would he have? All right, 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take your calls. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We're talking about Michael Jordan and the Last Dance documentary. Besides MJ yelling at his teammates and cursing them out and encouraging them to be better, we did see and highlight his retirement in 1993 following the death of his dad, his dreams to go play baseball. And then, we moved towards his comeback. And he basically was gone for the better part of the 94 season, 95 when he came back. He didn't have his legs underneath him. So we basically missed 2 years in the prime of Michael Jordan. Now, the Houston Rockets went back to back. Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, who I just told you before the break, I consider to be extremely underrated and overlooked. When we have a lot of conversations about basketball greats in this day and age, he went out there and got the job done. He was surrounded by shooters, young athletic wings, Sam Cassells and Kenny Smiths. The list goes on and on. Vernon Maxwell. And then they also traded for the Glide. Okay, got him from Portland to help push that championship run. They faced the Knicks in the finals, took them 7 games. And I think that if Michael Jordan was there, if Michael Jordan was playing, they'd be playing the Bulls in the finals. And I think that Michael Jordan would add 2 more rings to his hands, to his ledger, if he didn't go and play baseball. I want to go ahead and get your thoughts. 855-212-4CBS, the number 855-212-4CBS. Let's not waste any time. Let's go ahead and talk to T in Georgia. T, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go on ahead.
Hey, JR, how you doing, brother?
I'm great. What do you think?
Hey, JR, hey, before the documentary, man, I was thinking that same thing as far as Jordan went 8 in a row. But the documentary showed me something. If you paid attention, after the 3rd one, it showed how burnt out Jordan was. I'm talking about he was just, I never saw that side of him, just burnt out like he was just mentally tired. And, of course, his father died. So that made me put things in perspective, man. I think, Jordan would have lost one of those 2. He probably would have lost that first one and then came back and remotivated himself on the second one. But I just think he was burnt out after that 3rd one, man. So I think Hakeem would have snuck one in there.
So you're thinking ultimately he'd have had 7?
Yeah, exactly, because he would have won 3, lost 1, and then did the 4-peat.
Right. Nah, that's reasonable, T. That's a very good point. MJ was worn out, had to deal with the death of his pop. And thank you, T, for calling up from Georgia. 855-212-4CBS. How many rings would MJ have won if he didn't step away to go to Alabama to play baseball? That's a good point. You know, he did seem and appeared burned out. He did start to really face some criticism. We had Sam Smith, author of the Jordan Rules, on earlier this week, and there were elements of MJ's life that were now open for criticism. He was no longer, the sweet, happy, selling guy. You know, it was like, oh, this guy's gambling. Oh, okay. And now we're even learning more about his relationship with his teammates. I get it. But I would honestly feel that any time that MJ would step out onto that floor, he was going for it. I can understand if he was burnt out physically, mentally, but I think if he was out there, there was only one way in which he knew how to go. Let's talk to Matt, who's calling up from Houston. Matt, you're on CBS Sports Radio. It's the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, JR. Been wanting to call in for a while now. I love your show since you took over.
It's been awesome. You're really great to listen to.
Thank you, man. What do you think about MJ and the Rockets? I know you're calling up from the H town.
Well, this is how we feel in the H, and I don't want to come off sound like a homer, but to everybody I am, obviously. But if you look at the records, whenever Jordan's Bulls played the Rockets, I think it was we took 4 out of 5 from them in the regular season. We had the Jordan killer in Vernon Maxwell. Vernon Maxwell even broke Jordan's nose at here in Houston at the Summit in one of those games. You can pull it up and look at it. But I agree with that caller from Georgia T. Jordan was completely spent after that third one. I think that we would have split just like he said, but I think the decider would have been we know what we would have done against Jordan, but what would they have done against Hakeem? Hakeem would have eaten.
Oh, he would have cooked them.
I mean, you saw what he did to David Robinson. I mean, to Bill Cartwright, that would have been like a toothpick. I mean, it would have been, you know, a joke. So I think I agree with T from Georgia. I think it would have been a split. I think the Rockets would have been there. I think with Glide, when you got the Phi Slamma Jamma reunion in 95 back here in Houston, I think that would have given the edge a little bit more to the Rockets just because we had Robert Horry. You know, I mean, it would have been, we can talk about this till for eternity.
Yeah.
I think that's the one matchup that everybody, out of all those years, that's what the one matchup that everybody would want to see, man. You know,
I
honestly,
agree.
Because there was so much talent on both sides and stuff like that. And look, I lost both my parents, and it was really hard for me to get over that. And I can understand the devastating effect it would have on Jordan when he lost his dad, especially,
right,
you know, the way that it happened. It sucks the life out of you, man.
Yeah.
You know, even if it were natural causes and Mr. Jordan's wasn't, and it was very tragic. And so I bet you that really kind of shook him, you know. But
we saw the effect. We definitely did see that effect. And, you know, I get it. I mean, 7-8, and I agree with you 1,000,000%, Matt, and thank you for calling up from Houston. Like I said, Hakeem Olajuwon was a bad man. I don't care who the hell you threw at him. Just pick the light post. You know, pick an elephant. He was going around it. He was doing some damage. Let's talk to Dan in Michigan. Dan, you're on CBS Sports Radio. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Go on ahead.
JR, I really enjoy your show so far.
Thank you, Dan.
I've got to quantify this because Jordan's team beat the Pistons, and the Pistons used to destroy Jordan all the time.
Yeah, beat the hell out of him.
I would have really liked to have seen Olajuwon play Wilt Chamberlain because they were both so athletic. Wilt Chamberlain was the greatest player that ever laced him up, in my opinion. And then after that, it's, you know, the big O, magic for how he changed the game. Jordan's first three titles were given to him by David Stern. He was the MVP of those first three titles. David Stern, period. And if you follow the game and you know, you'll know what I'm talking about. And Jordan retired because he poked a little kid from Wisconsin, 13, 14 years old. He hard fouled him because he dunked over Jordan. He was asked to get out of the league because he gave the NBA a black eye.
Okay.
Come on.
All right.
Different perspective.
Okay, Dan. Thank you for calling up from Michigan, Dan. That was extremely interesting. Hey, Chris, my main man, Chris, up running the show. Chris, did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, I don't. You know, hey, history gets rewritten every day. I guess. I mean, the more the more the merrier. Chris, do we have time for one more call?
Sure do.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk to Kelvin in Houston. Kelvin, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go on ahead.
How you doing, JR?
I'm terrific. What's on your mind, Calvin?
I agree with what you're saying about the Jordan over the Rockets. I'm an H-Town guy. I agree with what you're saying with Jordan over the Rockets. But are we factoring in what's going to happen after you go 94, 95, and not only mental fatigue sets in, but but nobody gets injured on this Bulls team. Nobody switches team like Horace Grant. Nobody's a little bit more satisfied with having five instead of three. Are you saying that he's going to rip off, that we have that same energy against the Sonics and that Utah team after battling back-to-back against Houston and coming into the second part of those championships to really complete eight?
I'm saying hell yeah. I am. Those are all correct factors. You know, and that's a good point to bring up. I looked at it more so as, hey, these are two missing years. What could we possibly plug in? But I appreciate you bringing up the fact of continuity. How would this run into the Sonics? How would this run into the Utah Jazz? You know, ultimately, I think Michael Jordan was an outlier. And thank you, Kelvin, for calling up from Houston. That those are some great points that you brought up there. Yeah, what would the continuity be? Somebody wouldn't get injured. How, you know, maybe Scottie Pippen would have quit a little bit earlier. I mean, there's a lot of elements in there that would have ran into those next 3 years where, you know, MJ did come back and they did finish, you know, or did have another three-peat. And I'm just really strictly thinking about those 2 years in the middle. And when Akeem was straight killing and had those guards around him. We're going to continue taking your calls. I see you, George. I see you, Paul. The number is 855-212-4CBS. You know, how many titles would Jordan have won if he didn't retire the first time to go play baseball? We're going to continue with your calls right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We are taking your calls right now. How many titles would Michael Jordan have won if he did not retire in 1993? We know the Houston Rockets went back to back. Hakeem Olajuwon had those shooters around him and he went to business. Okay, we have some callers who are bringing up some excellent points. You know what, MJ would have had that passion. You know, obviously he was burnt out. He retired for a reason. But if he was out there, I would give him two more. I really would. Let's see what you have to say. We've had people waiting on hold. Let's talk to George calling in from Richmond. George, go on ahead. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good evening, and thanks for this great topic tonight. I just wanted to say that, you know, during that stretch when the Bulls had those six titles, the Rockets were 8-2 against the Bulls and the few times that they played each other, and this was, you know, during a time when the regular season wasn't played like there were preseason games, so they actually were going, you know, it's not like Jordan was taking games off or anything like that. And in most of those games, if you look it up, the Bulls really had no answer for Olajuwon, and those Bulls teams, I mean, they were great, but in all six of those finals, they never had to go through. They had to go through some great players, but they never had to go through a great center. So I think it would have been interesting to see how Phil Jackson and the staff would have adjusted to a team with a dominant, you know, Hall of Fame center.
Yeah.
In those finals, you know, those were deep teams. They had great defense, like that caller said. They had, you know, Vernon Maxwell was a guy
crazy
who could really play Jordan well. They had clutch shooters. You know, Cassell was a real pest. And, you know, just very well coached. And I think it'd be the Rockets win at least one.
Okay.
The Bulls were so good, I'd say maybe the Rockets win the first one and then
they split them.
The Bulls, yeah, I think they split, just all due respect to both teams, you know.
I hear you, George, and thank you so much for calling up from Richmond.
Sure thing.
Yeah, that is something I will agree with anybody who calls up. Hakeem Olajuwon would cook. He would be cooking whoever you threw at him. I mean, he basically did cook every center in the NBA on his way to those titles. He went through them. Now, you know, I still, and this is my own personal opinion, and I know the age of now versus, you know, 25 years ago is extremely different, especially when you talk about the regular season intensity of the games, etc. You know, but I still think ultimately there was a difference between the regular season and the playoffs. Let's talk to Paul, who's calling up from Houston. Paul, you're on CBS Sports Radio. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it's nice to be on your show. I'm a first-time listener, and yeah, I absolutely love this subject.
I want to say possibly a split, but then again, I feel you can't only have the factor of Jordan being burned out, but then you got to think about the team being burned out with Jordan.
Hmm.
That's a big factor to me. And so had he kept playing, say the Rockets take the first one. Jordan being so competitive, you know, of course he wouldn't like losing, but I think there would have ended up being a team issue.
Oh, you're saying that Michael Jordan would have damn near run them into the ground verbally by then, huh?
You know, possibly, you know, because he's so competitive. And then, of course, there's Akeem. I think Akeem also had an urgency himself, you know, and, you know, he really stepped up his game during that time. And, of course, he had the right players around him, but he just, I mean, he was unstoppable. I mean, he had the dream shape going. You know, there was no stopping it. And I think that had Jordan kept playing, you know, I think the Rockets probably would have taken that first one. He was burnt out. There were team issues. And then you got to think the team versus Jordan. I think there would have been some real issues there.
All right. So, well, thank you. I'm sorry,
Rockets
Paul.
Take the first one. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You were saying the Rockets take the first, and you go ahead and give the Bulls number two?
Maybe not. Maybe not. Mm. I think there would have been some real issues.
Okay. I think if we're thinking about, you know, everything that MJ, every word that came out of his mouth in that documentary, you're right. He may have thrown around one too many F-bombs, and they may have quit on him.
I think the Rockets taking the first one would have brought him to a major boiling point, considering the demons he was battling.
Okay. Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate you for calling up. That's a good point.
Thank you.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Paul, for calling up from Houston. Yeah, there's some good points. Let's talk to Donovan in Baltimore. Donovan, go on ahead. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, JR, man? How you doing, man? I just wanted to tell you, man, that I've seen Jordan with a debt to anything that was thrown his way. And what people keep failing to realize is that Olajuwon, like, he's just the one guy. Like, you had Pippen, Jordan, Rodman, Kukoc. Well, like,
Dennis,
you had a whole
Dennis, what? Dennis didn't get there yet. Dennis didn't get there yet.
Well, I mean, you still had Pippen. I would have, matter of fact, I would have just let Olajuwon, you want to get 50 again? Go ahead. But ain't nobody else going to score. Who else? Kenny Anderson? Like, come on, man. Like, stop. I mean, Jordan would have, he would have adapted. They probably would have won one game. And it would have been like that. It wouldn't have been, I would have loved to see it, but Jordan would have adapted. And it would have just been another one of those good games. Because, I mean, look. Karl Malone didn't Karl Malone play the five and the four, and look how they beat him.
Yeah, I hear you, Donovan. There's a couple of things I disagree with you on. I hear what you're saying. I think you're omitting the players that were around Akeem Olajuwon. He wasn't just playing with scrubs. All right, they basically traded. They sent Otis Thorpe up to Portland, and they brought down Clyde Drexler. Excuse me. You can think about Clyde in the context of Michael Jordan's and the Bulls save the Last Dance or the Last Dance documentary. I'm just mixing all types of things up now. You got me going. Look, you can think about Clyde in the context of the documentary. Clyde Drexler was a bad man. Okay, this was an all-star player. Clyde was not a bum. He wasn't a scrub. I can tell you, Akeem was probably going to get busy regardless of who was guarding him. But when you think about a young Sam Cassell, when you think about Maxwell, when you think about Kenny, you think about Mario Elie. I mean, he wasn't surrounded by bums. He had the perfect squad around him. You know, I don't even want to say it's similar, but the closest thing I've seen to it since is an underdeveloped Dwight Howard who had no offense, who basically got the ball down low And if he had an opportunity, he kicked it out to whether it was a Petrus or Turkoglu. Or, I mean, he just got the ball out. Now, imagine that with someone who actually had some of the greatest offensive skill that you've ever seen, surrounded by shooters. Oh, yeah, throw in Ari as well. Oh, yeah, and then he did play defense. So, you know, and then at the same time, I'm not going to put Karl Malone and Hakeem Olajuwon in the same category as to a scorer, because we actually saw what someone who harassed Karl Malone could do. And his name was Dennis Rodman. I mean, and Dennis Rodman wasn't there to go out there and abuse the living hell out of Hakeem Olajuwon. And if you're asking me who I actually prefer, one over the other, yeah, I actually like Hakeem Olajuwon more than Karl Malone. He was a more a diverse scorer, without a doubt. So I wouldn't compare them or put them in the same conversation. Let's talk to Roscoe calling up from Cleveland. Roscoe, you're on CBS Sports Radio. It's the JR Sport Brief Show.
Yo, that's Roscoe with the B, not a R, with a V, not a R. But Donovan was saying, I think Jordan would have won two more. And I think you're kind of devaluing Karl Malone, because Karl Malone was one of the all-time leading scorers in NBA history. And you also have to take into consideration the fact that, not necessarily a fact, but maybe the Bulls wouldn't have got rid of Horace Grant. Maybe Horace Grant would have been back with the Bulls had Jordan would have stayed. And so I think that Jordan would have definitely won two more. He already, took Clyde Drexler head-to-head. And, you know, and you also said that he never had to go up against a dominant center, and he went through Patrick Ewing, who was one of the best centers of all time.
I'm sorry. You said your name was Vasco with a V?
Yeah, Vasco.
Okay, Vasco. I can only read what's on the board, so I apologize for that. I'm going to ask you. No, Vasco, because I want to ask you a question, because the 3 points that you've hit, I don't know how long you've been listening, because it sounds like you're agreeing with the same things that I've said. So I don't. One thing, the first part you said was you feel that I'm devaluing Karl Malone as a basketball player. By no means. Not as a scorer. A lot of granted, you don't end up high on the list because you are a scrub. Now, at the same time, his durability was amazing, and he played with a point guard who was one of the best of all time. What I did do is compare him as a player to Hakeem Olajuwon and the position that they played, and whether or not one would be easier or more difficult to defend in the finals. Now, if you're going to give me two choices between what Karl Malone was as a player and how many dimensions he had to scoring versus Hakeem Olajuwon, I'm going to go with Hakeem Olajuwon. That has nothing to do with, you know, 20 years in the league as a perennial Iron Man. That just has to do with the physical skill set of Hakeem Olajuwon. So that doesn't have anything to do with Karl Malone. And then
what about this then?
Hold on, Vasco.
Okay.
Your other point about Patrick Ewing, I'm a little bit confused. Who were you referring to about, well, no one had to go through a center and Patrick Ewing? What was that about? I'm not too clear on that one.
Well, you guys said that Jordan, when he was on his quest to championships, he hadn't had to go through a center.
No. There wasn't a caller who said that. I certainly didn't say that. What I said was, when you think about who Michael Jordan had to go against when he was in the finals, he did not ever face anyone like Hakeem Olajuwon. That's what was said. There was nothing said about not having to go through the New York Knicks, who tried to beat the living hell out of him. So those are 2 points that you just said that didn't necessarily mesh with what was out there.
Okay, but what about this, though?
Okay, let's go for a third one. Go ahead.
Okay, you did say that you guys did make reference to the fact that Jordan never had to face a dominant center. And then you also made the point that Jordan had to get his legs under him when he came back, and he lost to the Orlando Magic and Shaquille O'Neal. But mm-hmm. The next year he swept Shaquille O'Neal, and we all know Shaquille O'Neal was one of the most dominant players to ever play the game. So if he swept Shaquille O'Neal,
Man, he would have crushed Olajuwon and the Rockets, and I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, Vasco, thank you so much. Well, you know what? That is true, and I think you missed a few points there, Vasco. Up until that point, that is what happened. That's what happened up until that point. You know, when MJ stepped away, he didn't face anybody. And, yes, he did take care of Shaquille O'Neal. He also had the help of somebody named Dennis Rodman who was out there. The teams were different. And if you're going to tell me, hey, in 94, he would have an easier route because of Shaq, you know, I think what you think Shaq is versus Hakeem Olajuwon, I think if you're undervaluing anybody, it is Hakeem Olajuwon. Because Hakeem Olajuwon took Shaquille O'Neal's and every center's lunch money. He took them all to school. Patrick Ewing, definitely David Robinson, Shaq. Nobody wanted to see Hakeem Olajuwon. He was that dude. He was the man. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we're going to switch up to talking about some football. The New York Giants. Yes, their offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett. Guess what type of offense the Giants are going to be running next season? Jason Garrett's offense from Dallas. We're going to talk about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.